You're listening to a Day1.fm show.
Pick My Brain is the podcast where founders pitch me their startup and I try to give them some useful advice so they can connect better with potential co-founders, investors, media, and of course, customers. My name's Alan Jones and I was a founder myself for about 15 years, and after that an angel investor for another 15 years, so yeah, old. Some of my ventures have been successful and some failed disastrously, but I like to think I've learned a thing or two along the way, and maybe some of that can help you. So if you'd like to learn how to tweak your pitch, subscribe to the Pick My Brain show now, wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
This podcast is supported by Oakland, the go-to design studio for growing software companies.
Welcome to FinTech Fun. FinTech Fun is a podcast where Australian fintechs come to share their stories.
Hi, it's Chris Titley here. As part of the FinTech Fun podcast series, I'm joined by Andrew Goodwin, CFO of ASX-listed Wiser. Andrew, thanks so much for being part of this series.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Andrew, let's talk about Wiser holistically as a broader company. What is it and when did it evolve and what is Wiser all about?
Yeah, sure. So Wiser is a FinTech in the consumer finance space in Australia. We're ASX-listed. We've been running for about 5 or 6 years. So we're a dual platform business. So on one side, we have our digital lending platform. So we do personal loans and secured vehicle loans, very traditional bank-like product to prime borrowers in Australia. We've lent well over $1 billion since inception. So still very early days, but scaling nicely. We've delivered 24 consecutive quarters of growth as part of that. Alongside that, and has always been part of strategy, we have our financial wellness platform. We have 650,000 profiles on that platform, and that's a whole range of tools, products, and so on that the consumers can use to better their financial wellness. And so those two platforms sit alongside each other and really deliver what we think is a unique strategy, both domestically and globally in the consumer finance space.
And Andrew, when you talk about the personal loans, can you just talk about what that is, where that sits in between a traditional mortgage and or a credit card versus maybe a secured loan on the auto side?
Yeah, sure. So the personal loan is a $5,000 to $60,000 product. The average that we do is about $30,000. It's for 3, 5, or 7 year term. It's a fixed interest rate product, and basically the borrower repays principal and interest over the life of that loan. And so the average that we do, mostly of what we do in that product, is 5 years. So it's that real traditional bank like product that has been offered for a number of years. And important to point out, it is an amortizing product. So it's not sort of, you pay your interest or your minimum. It does amortize down to zero, which we think is what we call sort of good debt. So that's what that product is.
And Andrew, the uses for these types of loans, and I suppose, has that mix changed over the last couple of years with the real focus on personal financial management as a household budget sheet, balance sheet?
Yeah, it has evolved over the years. So traditionally, so we do lend for sort of what we define as any worthwhile purpose. And historically what that was, so we actually did a lot of autos, even though this was before we had our dedicated secured vehicle product. We did lend for vehicle finance. We did debt consolidation. So, for example, someone who's on a high interest credit card or another product would refinance to Wiser at a lower rate and obviously pay that debt off over time. A lot of medical, we do sort of weddings and travel, and obviously during COVID, that really sort of reduced, and other purposes sort of came in place. So for example, home improvement and that sort of thing. So there's a whole range of purposes that people use them for. So for those real sort of life event, type purposes.
And Andrew, I don't really generally rock down to the old Wiser branch on the corner. There doesn't seem to be any branches. Is it 100% digital experience? And how have you found the customer feedback in regards to speed and process?
Yeah, no, it is 100% digital. You're exactly right. So no branches, fully online. Yeah, we're very much focused on the customer experience and that online journey that they have, and obviously the brand that we have in place. And so, you know, things like turnaround times, disclosure, the brand, basically the process they go through online, obviously still having someone they can pick up the phone to and talk to if they need to, and that call is answered, you know, very quickly and in a very efficient manner. But certainly for the vast majority of people is a fully sort of digital, online, very user-friendly process.
And in regards to that process that you mentioned then and the education piece around what a credit score is and what's good debt and what's bad debt, what's Wiser doing, I suppose, to uplift the community in regards to awareness and education?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, the first thing to point out would be the average credit score in our whole book is 801. So for people that are unaware of credit scores, that's that sort of Equifax score. That's a very prime book. But by any sort of comparison or standard. The things that we have on the financial wellness platform include a credit score comparison service. So it's free to use. A borrower or an individual can go and check their credit scores across multiple credit bureaus. And that score really dictates a lot of what someone can do from a personal finance perspective. Some of the data that we have gleaned, so for borrowers at Wiser, they're not necessarily obligated to join our financial wellness platform. A lot do. And what our data has shown is that people that actually do join the platform, that there's a couple of things that happen. One is that their credit score actually improves over time because we give them tools and services and information around, well, how do you improve your credit standing and your credit rating? The other thing we've shown, though, to those borrowers that are actually on the platform is that they're ahead of their loan repayments, which is obviously very good behavior from a borrowing perspective. We call it sort of prepayments. So they're ahead on the repayments on their loan, which again is a very good sign compared to those that aren't actually on the platform. And so, you know, the proof is in the pudding there that the platform is actually working and having the intended purpose that it's intended to have.
And Andrew, you mentioned the auto side of things. That was an organic product that Wiser built. Can you talk about that and the process and the pain points, I suppose, of borrowing money to buy a car?
Yeah, no, for sure. So it really did make sense that was the next product that we offered. So that came online sort of a couple of years ago, because what we saw in our own book was that there was a lot of demand for that product. And obviously, it is a conceptually lower risk product if you take security over the vehicle. And so we developed the product. Obviously, we got our funding partners at NAB and so on. We built a dedicated funding warehouse or commissioned a dedicated funding warehouse to basically roll that product out. So there are a few key differences. Obviously, when you're taking security over a vehicle, there's sort of, you know, registrations and PPSR and that type of thing that you need to think about. So obviously, some tweaks to the platform and process there. We also basically fund directly. You know, for example, if they buy it from a dealership, we'll fund the dealership directly. So there's a few things you can do around that product that just make a lot more sense and are very user-friendly. In that respect, we get valuations on the vehicles as well. So there's services provided where obviously you need to sort of value the vehicle and so on and so forth.
Excellent. Excuse the dogs in the background, mate. This is a bit of co-working space here. There's always a few fur puppies floating around. Mate, just on the current progress of the business, there's a lot of talk about, you know, obviously the deterioration in valuations globally, et cetera, but can you give us an update on your business on how Wiser is travelling?
Yeah, so listen, we put our FY22 results out a week or two ago. It was a very strong set of results. So, you know, on any metric you look at, you know, growth in revenue, growth in loan origination, growth in loan book, improvement in our sort of cash EBITDA number, you know, profitability figure. We did call out that we are aiming for profitability within the next 12 months. Yeah, that's very much our intention. And we've really sort of set the business up to do that. So we do still see ourselves as a growth company. However, you know, in the short term are adopting more of a, I guess, a fiscally conservative approach. I mean, we think that's the right thing to do, right? With rising rates and so on, there is a little bit of uncertainty in the macro environment. So we're really setting up the business to navigate through this period and certainly come out the other end much stronger. And as I said, over the next sort of decade, we really do see ourselves as a growth business. And so some of the things we've done, you know, is called out that we will look to probably moderate growth a little bit, you know, in the short term. We've pulled some costs out of the business that was sort of, you know, growth spend and innovation spend that we think at the moment, you know, is not the right strategy. So yeah, we're really sort of setting up the business to sort of deliver some really strong financial results. As we called out in the next 12 months.
Just on that topic that you touched on then in regards to interest rate rises, we've had, well, actually lost count of how many you've had in a row. In regards to your business then, I mean, is there this sort of upside, downside, neutral? Can you sort of explain what the movement is in rates and how that may affect, you know, demand?
Yeah, so look, the rate rises have absolutely come through very, very quickly. And when you look at sort of our exposure, I guess, to floating interest rates, the way our funding model works is that we actually borrow, you know, in our warehouse funding and so on at fixed margins, but it's a fixed margin over BBSW. And so BBSW is obviously the floating component that we have in place. However, since we started our funding facilities, our warehouse funding facilities in November 2019, we've been hedging the BBSW. So we've essentially been hedging the forward curve to match the profile of the loan book. So call it sort of 3-4 years, which is obviously, you know, been great for the business in terms of protection on these increases. However, given the book is growing, you know, we do increase our hedging every month. And obviously the hedges we're now placing have gone up in cost. And we sort of called out in our results that between, you know, April and September, the blended average increase in our sort of base rate funding cost is about 80 basis points. In response to that, what we've done is we've increased the yield on our front book. So the new loans that we're originating, again, for the same time period, we've actually increased those rates by around 340 basis points. And so that's really aimed at, you know, mitigating the risk of those rising rates, protecting our NIM, and obviously seeking to deliver profitability within 12 months. So yeah, that's sort of the position we're in there. Obviously, you know, the whole market is impacted by these rate rises, but we feel that we've got the levers in place to sort of mitigate, as I said, against those increases. The other thing to point out, Chris, is obviously with the prime book that we have, you know, it's very beneficial or helpful going into a, you know, conceptual challenging cycle, notwithstanding unemployment still very low, you know, with a prime book in place in terms of weathering any challenging economic conditions.
Andrew, when you're not talking about BBSW and originations and prime books, etc., it's what do you do personally to switch off? You guys are based in Sydney. Do you get to travel a bit, or where's your favourite holiday spot?
Yeah, look, mate, it's a good question. I've always been. I lived in London for many years, and I always loved to get back to Europe. Obviously, hadn't been for about 3 years, but managed to get across over our winter or the European summer. Oh, so nice. had an absolutely fantastic time. Yeah, getting across there. As I said, it had been quite a period of time. So do love traveling to Europe, and yeah, you know, certainly domestically as well.
Andrew, did London sort of have a different feel to when you were a bit younger and maybe a bit more? Less party animal, I suppose, now that you are maybe a bit older. I mean, I went back a few years ago and was like, wow, I can't believe I lived here and whatnot. And it's still a very, very vibrant place, but it was like, oh, wow, that was a different time in my life.
I had a very similar experience, Chris. So I actually got COVID for the first time over there as well, which certainly put a bit of a dampener on things. But, yeah, I mean, it was absolutely – I mean, the only word I could use to describe it was sort of pumping. Like, it was just alive. It was vibrant. There were people everywhere. I mean, I always used to say, you know, the world's in London. I mean, you just go through Heathrow Airport and whatever, and it just really has that air about it, right? And, I was actually surprised. I lived there for 8 years, and going back this time, I was amazed I actually lived there that long and survived. But yeah, it definitely had a different feel, and certainly happy to call Sydney home again now.
Yeah, I used to call it the sort of the tube test when people jumped on the tube, and you could just sort of get on a checklist how many languages were spoken in the carriage. Whereas obviously here, yeah, you know, you only get a handful, but there might be like, you know, half a dozen different languages going on in one carriage of a tube in London. And now when people do come to Sydney, what do you maybe some Brisbane people or international people, you take them out for a feed. Where do you go, mate? What's your cuisine of choice?
Jeez, mate, that's a very good question because I do love my food. I think if pressed, it's sort of Italian and Southeast Asian, really, like other than sort of, you know, mum's lamb roast. So some of the restaurants, I mean, there's, you know, the city's got a few really good spots popping up. I mean, Bistecca, you know, is a great sort of Italian steak place in the city there. Mr. Wong's is a great sort of Asian, you know, dumplings, oh, yes, and Asian food places in the cities. No, that's actually in it's in the city.
Oh, right.
So it's just near the Ivy Complex there. So that's a good spot. Woolloomooloo is great if you want to sort of, you know, spot by the sun there. You've got plenty of choice in restaurants down there. But, you know, even the inner west, and I mean, the food scene in Sydney, I know you guys are, you know, Brisbane-based, you know, it is improving. So, yeah, there's never a shortage of great spots to eat out.
And, mate, what do you do to keep yourself in check, keep yourself fit? Is there a particular type of exercise that you like enjoy doing?
Yeah, no, look, I do like swimming and tennis. It's been a bit cold this winter. I love my swimming, usually when it warms up a bit, so that's probably due again now. I live pretty close to the beach, which is great. I play tennis at least once a week, which I love. I've also got a chocolate Labrador puppy.
Oh, right.
6 months old, and he's so that's sort of getting me out of bed earlier than usual. I wouldn't say it's exercise. I wouldn't say it's exercise per se, but it's certainly movement.
No.
And probably drinking more coffee than I used to as well.
Indeed. Andrew, mate, thanks for the chat about yourself and also Wiser in terms of how you're navigating what is a pretty turbulent time. From a public markets point of view and from a business point of view, but you know, the products and that you've got in place and certainly the platform that you've built over many years hopefully will continue that growth that you mentioned in terms of consecutive quarters. I appreciate the update and look forward to catching up.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate the time and good to chat.
And thank you to our friends at Oakland who have supported this podcast.
For more information on Sub11, jump onto our LinkedIn or email me, chris@sub11.com.au. Thanks for listening.
Listen to the Unfunded podcast brought to you by the Day One Network and hosted by me, tech writer Joan Westenberg. We're sharing the no-holds-barred, untold stories from entrepreneurs who have decided to build a business on their terms. I'll be interviewing successful founders and operators on the grit and ingenuity it takes to build and scale independent startups without the support of traditional venture capital funding. Subscribe to the Unfunded podcast now, wherever you get your podcasts.